Welcome to Missionary Echoes, a ministry of the God's Missionary Church of Lebanon, Pennsylvania at 2127 Hill Street. I am Pastor Alan Walter, thanking you for joining us today, and trust your heart will be blessed as we worship the Lord together.
Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood.
In the blood
of the Lamb.
There
is power,
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 power, wonder-working power
in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be whiter, much whiter than snow? There's power in the blood, power in the blood.
Sins are lost in its life-giving flow.
There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power,
power,
wonder-working power
in the blood.
A miracle would not be a miracle if it could be explained, right? Well, the medicine show was a staple of the 19th century in America, especially in the Wild West, where access to doctors and health care was lacking. Traveling salesmen would set up shop in towns and peddle a variety of miracle elixirs and tonics, promising to cure all manner of illnesses, ailments, and conditions. But when Jesus met a thirsty woman at a well in Samaria, he offered her miracle water. Living water, the consumption of which would satisfy her thirst forever. She thought he meant a special kind of liquid, but he meant spiritual water that would satisfy her spiritual needs forever. It took her some time to understand who Jesus was and what he was talking about, but she soon realized he was not offering her a kind of miracle water, but a relationship with God. Jesus spoke of this living water on other occasions, referring to the Holy Spirit in John chapter 7. If you are spiritually thirsty today, I'm happy to tell you that you can quench that thirst by yielding your life to God through faith in Jesus Christ, the greatest miracle water of all. So we're just pleased that you have joined us this morning for this radio broadcast, because we want to talk some more about this good news and how it can transform your life, just like it did the woman who received the living water from Jesus at the wellside those many years ago. Today we're thinking especially of Israel and the war that is going on, and we're praying for God to protect them and guide them and deliver them from all of these horrible atrocities that are being done against them. So stay tuned as we pray for Israel and as we spend this time together on the broadcast today in preparation for this Lord's Day of worship at the God's Missionary Church in Lebanon, Pennsylvania.
Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God. Will you pray with all your power while we try to preach the word? All is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. Brethren, pray and hold manna will be showered all around. Brethren, see poor sinners round you slumbering on the brink of woe. Death is coming, hell is moving, can you bear to let them go? See our fathers and our mothers and our children sinking down. Brethren, pray and holy manna will be showered all around, all around. Let us love our God supremely, let us love each other too. Let us love and pray for sinners till our God makes all things new. Then He'll call us home to heaven. At His table we'll sit down. Christ will gird Himself and serve us with sweet manna all around.
Lord, we do invite You to surround us with Your presence today. We are appreciative for the opportunity to be on the air and to have this broadcast to go out for those to hear it that desire. We pray that You will be with each one as we spend this time together, and that You will be pleased to meet with us in a gracious way in the services at our church this morning and again tonight. Bless each Sunday school teacher, bless each student, each one who makes their way to the house of God to spend this time in Sunday school, learning and cooperating and connecting with others. We just pray that You'll bless this Lord's Day to each one today. We pray for the needy among us. We pray for those who are shut in, those who are afflicted in body, those who have a setback that they are not sure what the answer will be, what the final outcome will be, not sure how the bill will be met, not sure how the marriage will be spared, not sure how the problem will be solved. And we're just trusting You today for every need, most of all for the spiritual needs. You know those with a spiritual need today. Someone who doesn't know Christ may well be listening to our broadcast this morning. We pray that they'll catch a fresh vision of You and they will call out to You and experience Your forgiveness and Your restoration and Your transformation of their life today. And we'll praise You and thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
I have a song I love to sing since I have been. Savior King, since I have been redeemed, since I have been redeemed, since I have been redeemed, I will glory in His name. Since I have been redeemed, I will glory in my Savior's name. I have a prize to satisfy since I have been.
I will glory in His name since I have been redeemed.
Well, I hope you know what it is to be redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ shed for your sins. We come together this morning rejoicing in the redemption story and the redemption experience, and we hope you'll join us. We're located at 2127 Hill Street in Lebanon. We will begin Sunday school at 9:30. The morning worship service will be at 10:30. And then this evening, we have a special mission service with Tim and Sharon Teed. They represent the country of Slovakia, and they come now with experience, having served there these last few years. And we're excited about having them at our church for the service tonight at 6 o'clock. Don't miss it. Be sure to rally out and hear Tim and Sharon Teed as they share their heart and their experiences and their burden of their missions work in the country of Slovakia. Wednesday night will be our weekly prayer meeting service. We invite you to come and be a part of that as well. That begins at 7:30. And then again next Sunday, our day of worship as we gather in and enjoying a weekend of revival for the young people and others who participate. It will actually begin Friday already and go throughout the day on Saturday and be a part of the day on Sunday with God's Bible School represented. So you may well want to be here next weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, as much as possible to enjoy the ministry, especially geared to our young people. Well, we're so appreciative of you joining us here on Missionary Echoes this morning. Stay tuned as we enjoy some more music and a message from God's Holy Word.
Spirit will descend.
Thank God for that river that never will run dry. From John's Gospel chapter 4, we read, "When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, Go call thy husband, and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus saith unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband, and that saidst thou truly. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples, and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, What seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. In the third and fourth chapters of the Gospel of John, we see a dramatic contrast in the persons Jesus confronted with the claims of God upon their lives. Nicodemus was a respectable, influential religious leader. The woman at the well had a bad reputation. She was trapped in a sordid affair that was offensive both to God and society. Jesus treated both these persons with equal courtesy, patience, and kindness. He accepted the respectable and the disreputable as persons made in the image of God. And you know, you can accept a person without accepting that person's lifestyle. In the modern times, we are presented with lifestyles of every imaginable type. We are certainly in an age where so many do that which is right in their own eyes. Many give no heed to biblical principles of holy living, but Jesus shows us how to treat them all. So notice, first of all, meeting Jesus at the well. If ever there seemed to be a hopeless case for Jesus, this is the one. This woman was a Samaritan. She was a religious and social outcast to the Jews. The hour was noon, the hottest time of the day. A Jewish man and a Samaritan woman did not normally engage in conversation. We can piece together something of her story. She probably was quite attractive in her youth, as was the custom of the day. She had married young. Perhaps she was more in love with love than with a person. The marriage ended on the rocks. Before her second marriage, she hoped for better days. She knew now the heartaches of a broken home. Her second marriage also ended in failure. Now she was a two-time loser. Her third marriage did not have a chance. she tired of her husband quickly. It may be that she had an extramarital affair with the man who was to be her fourth husband. Now marriage had become a habit and a matter of convenience and security. Love for her had turned to lust. Dreams and hopes had ended in disillusionment. After her fifth marriage, we hear her saying, "Why go through the formality of a ceremony anymore? It just makes me a liar to say, 'Till death do us part.' I shall take a man where I find him, live with him as long as I please, and move out when I choose." And this was her condition when she met Jesus at the well. So notice, secondly, meeting the woman in her needs. But Jesus saw more than her sins. He saw more than what she was. He saw what she could become. He saw her needs. He discerned her thirst for satisfaction and fulfillment in life. She had been exploited for the pleasure of others. She could hardly trust men anymore. She was disgusted with the mess she had made of her life. She hated herself. She hated the woman who looked down on her. Beneath her brazen, flippant exterior was a longing to be different. I'm thinking of the words of this song, "Down in the human heart, crushed by the tempter, feelings lie buried that grace can restore. Touched by a loving heart, wakened by kindness, chords that are broken will vibrate once more. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save." In a skillful confrontation, Jesus revealed to her that it was the water of life that would satisfy her thirst for a better life. Let me paraphrase what he said to her in verse 14. "I will instill within you a spring that is perennially fresh." He said life will never be stagnant again. This water will be bubbling up in buoyant joy and excitement. She tried to start an argument, but he kept her on the main track. Jesus was not interested in winning an argument. He was interested in winning the person. This Samaritan woman became an enthusiast. She left her water pot and rushed to the village to share her new faith. This reminds us of the disciples who left their boats and their nets. It is reminiscent of Matthew, who left his receipt of customs to follow Christ. Most important of all, these people left their old life, their old way, their old attitudes, and their former loyalties. Say, what have you left to follow Jesus? When we drink of the water of the earth, we thirst again and again. Men have drunk of the wells of power and fame and knowledge and riches and ambition and sensual pleasure. They have always thirsted again. The world just does not satisfy. The Apostle Paul went from throwing Christians into prison to leading non-Christians into the kingdom of God. His way of thinking was changed. His way of walking was changed. He turned about and went in a whole new direction. His way of seeing things was changed. His hearing was changed. He finally heard a voice from heaven and responded to it. His occupation changed from being a persecutor to being a pursuer of souls for Jesus. His name changed from Saul to Paul. Has God changed the meaning of your name? His outlook on the future changed. He now had hope. John Newton went from being a slave trader to being a pastor and a hymn writer. Nikki Cruz went from being a New York City gang member to being a street evangelist for Christ. The late Chuck Colson went from being a White House hatchet man to being a prison evangelist and apologist. You know, meeting Christ always results in life change, but sometimes the change is radical. Take a woman named Mary from the Galilee town of Magdala, for example. We know little about her Christian life except she was possessed by seven demonic spirits from which Jesus delivered her. We can only assume that being possessed by seven demons created a chaotic life. By comparison, after being freed from them, Mary became a faithful follower of Jesus, present at both his death and his resurrection. Jesus says to us, as he said to the woman at the well, "Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water, springing up into everlasting life." The woman of old responded with the words, "Sir, give me this water." So I would ask you this morning, would you pray that same prayer? Bring to Him your bad choices and your scattered dreams. He will forgive and restore you. Bring to Him the broken pieces of your life. He can mend you and make you whole again. And then, like this transformed, excited believer, God will help you to share your faith with those who also thirst for God. Sometimes we do not like change until we see the changes are for the better. So take a moment to thank God today for the positive changes you've seen in your life since meeting Jesus. Thank Him for the storms He has brought you through. Thank Him for the value He has placed on your life and for the way He uses the circumstances of our lives to transform us into His divine image. It certainly pays to serve Jesus, and we absolutely have no regrets for surrendering our heart and life to Him. For the transformation is always and ever for the better. God bless you, my friend. If you don't know Jesus, I pray that today you will experience His saving power in your life. He indeed can make something beautiful of your life. Offer Him your brokenness, offer Him your strife, and let Him make something beautiful of your life even today. God bless you, my friend. I hope to be able to hear your story someday of what Jesus has done in your life, perhaps even this morning. Praise His name. God bless you. Have a great day.
If there ever were dreams that were lofty and noble, those were my dreams at the start. And the hopes for life's best were the hopes that I harbored down deep in my heart. Then my dreams all were shattered, my castles all crumbled, my fortune turned. So I wrapped it all in the rags of my life and laid it at the cross. Then He made something beautiful.
Upon His word.
sun.